These are very powerful sounds coming from the depth of the soul. Welcome to Jewish Meditation with Rabbi G, making each day meaningful. And now we are currently in a series where we discuss the insights and the lessons that we can learn from the upcoming High Holy Days. So just over 2 weeks, we'll have Rosh Hashanah, where we do lots of beautiful things like apple and the honey and big family meals and a bit of shul service and so on. But actually, the Talmud tells us that the main focus of Rosh Hashanah is the blowing of the shofar. Or, as we've mentioned before, it's really not just the blowing, it's the idea to listen to the sounds of the shofar and to absorb its message. But in order to listen, of course, we blow the sounds. Now, what's the depth behind the blowing of the shofar? Let me tell you a little story from the Baal Shem Tov, who this coming Shabbat is the anniversary of his birth. Baal Shem Tov, of course, is the one that founded the Hasidic movement and had a deeper perspective and looking at everything from its deeper esoteric meaning. And he wanted to explain what's the power of the shofar, because actually they're not very melodious and they're not very sophisticated musical sounds. They're just sort of sounds that come from the soul, which are blown through the shofar. And he talks about the king, or a lot of parables begin with a king who had a prince who he wanted to educate. And he decided to send the prince out into the world, away from the safety of the palace, to learn, to encounter, to face challenges, and to become a stronger human being. So he gave the prince a sum of money and resources to be able to last outside the world, outside the palace walls, and told him, you know, he's a prince, he should always remember he's a prince, but go and do something, be successful outside in the world. The king leaves the prince leaves the palace, and with time drifts and assimilates into parts of society that aren't so good, and finds bad company, and just becomes more and more distant, both emotionally and physically, from the palace of the king. And just even forgets that he's a prince, and forgets even the language that was spoken in the province where the king sat on his throne. Comes after a bit of time, and one day something happens, and the prince suddenly remembers, you know, I'm actually a prince, and I have a father who's a king, and I really yearn to be reconnected with him. And he travels back to the palace, to the capital city. Doesn't look like a prince. His clothes are torn. He's doesn't look like royalty at all. And he doesn't even know how to speak to the people around the palace. He comes around the palace, and of course there's security and there's guards and there's all kinds of stuff that's happening there. And he tries to motion, tries to indicate that he wants to go into the palace, and of course they won't let him. And he tries to kind of gesture that he's a prince, and they start laughing at him. So he just starts to cry. And the king, sitting in his throne room, hears the cry. And when he hears the cry, he says, "That's my son. That's my son." Runs out, embraces his child, brings him back into the palace, and then rebuilds the relationship. Said the Baal Shem Tov, that is the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. It's the simple cry of the child coming home. What does that mean? Let's understand the depth of this. Let's give an analogy from when, you know, we have children. Those of you who have children know what I mean. When a parent has a child, that first moment the child is born, there's this unbelievable love. There's this unbelievable and unbreakable and unconditional love that the parent has for the child. That love has nothing to do with what the child could accomplish. It's not dependent on achievements or success. It is just intrinsic. There's something about the inner essence of the father or the mother connecting to the inner essence of that child who's not developed, who hasn't accomplished anything yet, who hasn't done anything yet. It's just that bond, that intrinsic bond. And the child then grows up. And we change the relationship to be a much more functional one. We expect things to happen. We expect achievements. We want the child to tidy their room and to do their homework and to do well in their studies and to start being a mensch and to accomplish and eventually make something of themselves. Which means, in other words, the relationship that was more intrinsic, that unbreakable, unconditional love, kind of fades into the background. It's there, but it's not obvious. What's more obvious is the relationship which is based on functionality, where we actually are expecting stuff to happen from the child. And then a child, let's say, drifts and doesn't do what we want them to do, and the relationship becomes strained, and sometimes the child becomes distant from the parent, and just becomes a problem, and there's a rift, that there's a real rift. And then there's an attempt to repair that relationship. And that's where the crucial concept comes in. How do we do that? How do we repair the relationship? Because on a functional level, the relationship is very broken. There's so much hurt, there's so much pain, there's so much unfinished business. How do we repair that relationship? The only way to do it is to go all the way back to the moment of birth, to strip the relationship down to the very essential bond that exists between the parent and child. To go for the parent to somehow ignite, somehow feel that love that they felt the first day they was born, connecting to something within the child that is beyond performance, that transcends achievement, that is not dependent on any success or accomplishment. To reconnect at that very deep level and then slowly to break it up. And that's the cry of the shofar. That's the cry of the prince who can't even speak like the prince. He doesn't know how to communicate like a prince. The relationship has been severed and damaged on all levels of functionality, but there's that cry that cannot be expressed in words. There's that cry that just reaches out to the essence of the father, and the reconnection happens. And from there, we rebuild. So too, us on Rosh Hashanah. Perhaps during the year, we've strained our relationship with our Father in heaven. He's asked us to do certain things, maybe we haven't done them. He's asked us to treat people around us nicely. He's asked us to do certain mitzvot. He's asked us to learn. And maybe we've done some, we haven't done others. But on some level, the relationship has been strained somehow. So we come on Rosh Hashanah, and we don't even know how to speak the language, but we do know how to blow the shofar. We do know how to bring out that essential, intrinsic, unconditional relationship that was there right from the beginning. And the Father, our Father in heaven, comes out and he welcomes us back into the palace, and we start rebuilding the relationship from there. Where does that cry come from? It comes from the essence of our soul. It comes from the purity which we all have. It comes from the part of us deep down that has never become broken, that has never been damaged, that has never been destroyed. And it connects to the depth within God himself, so to speak, that has never lost his love for us. That's what happens with the cry of the shofar. And when we cry through the shofar, he welcomes us back, and we just commit. We commit to being better, we commit to trying, and we commit to repairing that relationship on a functional level as well. But first, we need to reveal it at that very deep level. Let's reflect on that a little bit. Just get yourself into the mood, into the zone. Close your eyes if that will help. And concentrate on your breathing. Feel the breath. Be aware of the pulse of life. Breathe in and then feel the air coming out. Inhaling and exhaling. As we know, the neshima, the breath, is an expression of our soul. Our soul that at many levels, but at its deepest level, it is always pure, pristine, unbreakable, undamageable. As you continue to breathe, just tap into and think about the purity of your essence. What is that purity? If you've heard a shofar, remember the, try to remember the sound, the tkia, that ooh, or the truah, tu 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 tu. Very simple sounds, unsophisticated. Imagine them in your head. Not musical, not complicated, just very simple. Simple but powerful. Simple but pure. We have a purity that is connected to godliness, to infinity. Never breaks, never challenged, consistently pristine. Think of those shofar sounds. Just think of the very essence, simple but deep love, unconditionally, between us and God. Think of a child that's crying, just wants the embrace of his father or mother. The unconditional love between parent and child. Avinu Malkeinu, our father, our king, welcome us, we want to come home. We are reconnecting, and you are reconnecting to us, so that we can repair the relationship on a functional level. But first, we just cry, and you just hug and embrace. Breathe in and just express the purity of your neshama. Come back to where we are and just remember, this is a Rosh Hashanah experience, but it's actually an experience and a moment that we can have anytime. Whenever we think we failed, whenever we think we've done something really wrong and feel guilty, take a few breaths and just remember, there's a purity of your neshama that is always complete. Have a wonderful day.